For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everybody. This class is dedicated to Shavuos. Okay? This is the time of the giving of the Torah, right? So obviously, you know, we are the people of the book. This is our holiday. I mean, this is the ikar, the main holiday, which makes a Jew a Jew. Okay? Make no mistake about it. We are a people, a Jew. A Jew is a Yid because of the Torah. That's what makes us a Jewish people, okay? To emphasize this, the Torah was given in a desert, in a midbar, right? Right? Our Declaration of Independence. Because this is when we become free, right? This is the 49 days connecting physical freedom of Pesach to Shavuos, spiritual freedom. This is when we become free, right? And our Declaration of Independence is in a desert. Not like other countries, other people that have it in their land. Right? You know, Hiroshima, flag, all that stuff. No. Which teaches something very important. As dear and as precious and as beloved as the land of Israel is to us, we can survive without the land of Israel. We're a little crippled, but we can survive. Without the Torah, we can't survive. Therefore, the Torah is given to us in a desert. Isn't that interesting? That's what makes us a people. And there we get the Ten Commandments. And there's the culmination of the freedom, the physical freedom of Egypt, with the first of the Ten Commandments, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God, that took you out of Egypt. That's a question, you know. You know, you would think if God's going to, like, introduce himself, he would say, I'm the Lord your God that created heaven and earth. God the Creator. No, I'm the Lord your God. Asher Seisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of the land of Egypt. This is the culmination. Now you're free. Now you get your Declaration of Independence. Torah, in the desert. That's what makes us a people. Okay? Now, spellbound. Okay, a couple questions. A few questions we want to try to answer. Number one, if you think about it, which is always a good thing to do, of all the holidays, Shavuos is unique. What I mean is that we have, like, no symbols. But look, Rosh Hashanah, immediately, what do you conjure in your mind? Shofar, right? Machzor, special sitter you use on Rosh Hashanah. Honey, the apples, you know, round chal, whatever. You know, you use special things, right? Yom Kippur, right? Again, the machzor. Right, sukkahs, you have the four species, the estrog, right, the sukkah itself, right? Right, simchas Torah itself, you dance around with the Torah, right? Hanukkah, you have the licht, right? And Purim, Megillah, Esther, and Pesach, you have matzah, and you have matzah, and you have matzah, right? Okay? So every holiday has its symbols, and here comes Shavuos. Right? The most important holiday, in a sense, you know, it's the Torah being given to us. It's what makes us alive. Kiyam Chayenu. No symbols. Nothing. Now, that's question number one. Why does Shavuos not have any symbols? Question number two. Okay, the Gemara has, in the Talmud, it has a debate. The debate goes as following. You know, on Yom Tov, on a holiday, a Jewish holiday, there's this idea that it could be Kulu Hashem or Kulu Lahem. It could be all to Hashem or all to you. Right? And it goes back and forth. What that means is you could spend the whole day in Torah and davening and learning, right, doing the mitzvahs of the day. Right? Or is a Yom Tov given for physical pleasure? You dress nicer, you know. Fine clothes, you eat better, there's a mitzvah to have like meat and wine on Yom Tov, right? All these things. So, it ends up we do half and half, so to speak. But the debate goes on in the Gemara, and when it comes to Shavuos, they say everybody agrees that are not tzeres. Now, shavuos, everybody agrees, that half of it should be spent in the physical enjoyments of the world. Food, dress, and so forth, right? Okay? Well, now, why is that a question? Because if you're going to debate this issue, if there's one holiday, I would have thought it's going to be all to God, so to speak, all to spirituality, this would be it. The giving of the Torah, I would think I would spend the whole day in shul learning and davening. As a matter of fact, there's a custom to stay up all night, right? So on this, everybody agrees that half of it should be spent on the physical, eating, drinking, enjoying. Why? Of all the holidays, why is it on this one everybody agrees? I think just the opposite. Okay, that's question number two. Question number three is that we find a rule that the first time, Matzadok HaKohen says, the first time something is mentioned in the Torah, that becomes the paradigm for what it's all about. That's the source, right? Okay. The first time we talk about simcha, the word simcha is used, joy, happiness, shavuos. Shavuos is the first time. Okay? Why is shavuos the source? Why is that the source of simcha? Okay, that's question number three. And question number four, final question for today, is why do we call it shavuos? If you think about it, that's a kind of a funny name. Matan Torah, it's always put as the giving of the Torah, right? Shavuos has several names. Yom Bikurim, the day of the first fruits. In the Talmud, it's referred to as Atzeres. As we explained, the culmination days of Pesach, like Shmini Atzeres, is the culmination of Sukkot. But yet, we always refer to it, right? We always refer to Shavuos. Shavuos, right? So why is it called? Okay, again, four questions. Why does Shavuos have no symbols? Right? Why does it have no symbols? Why does everybody agree that half the day should be in physical pleasures on Shavuos? Right? Why is the main source of Simcha is on Shavuos? And why, in fact, is it called Shavuos? Okay? Those are our questions. Okay. So first, let me tell you a story. Story in the Gemara. Very mystical story. Okay? Moshe goes up to Mount Sinai. Okay? And he's supposed to bring down the Torah to Israel. And the angels say, no. This coarse, flesh and blood human is going to bring the Torah down? No, the Torah needs to stay with us. The Torah, which was preceded the creation of the world, right, is the blueprint of the world. We can't let, flesh and blood man get a hold of it, right? It's too spiritual. And they argued. So Hashem said to Moshe, answer them. So, okay. Moshe said, listen, you angels, let me ask you, we have a mitzvah in the Torah that says don't steal. We have a mitzvah in the Torah that says don't murder, right? Is there jealousy amongst you up there? Do you have a hatred or jealousy or do you covet that you need such a commandment? And they said, no. So it also says, I'm Lord God, took you out of the land of Egypt. Were you guys slaves in Egypt? No. Right? And so forth and so on. So finally they agreed, you're right, Moshe. And they all, became his friends, so to speak. Okay, this is a very mystical conversation. We don't know all the inner meaning of it. But basically, Moshe was Menatzeh. He defeated the angels, and they agreed to let the Torah go because Moshe explained that physical man needs the Torah. Spiritual angels do not. Okay? Gemara also says in a different area that Hashem says, I created the Yetzer Hara. Everybody has an evil inclination, a negative drive, but don't worry, Barati Torah Tavlin. I created the Torah as an antidote for it. In other words, the evil inclination won't get the best of you. I have the Torah. That's your potion of life that can save you from the evil inclination that tries to drive you into material pursuits or desires or pleasures, right? The Torah is the cure for that. Okay? So, comes Shavuos, and the Gemara says, everybody agrees, half the day should be spent in the physical world, in the physical world of pleasures and enjoyment. Because, the answer is because, that's the very argument that Moshe used, right, to justify that the Torah belongs to us. We have negative drives. We have physical appetites, right? So therefore, the Torah addresses those. The Torah allows us to take the physical world and raise it to spirituality, right? That's it. That the main thing of the Torah is not just, you know, no division between shul and state. You just go to shul, you daven, and that's it, and you go out into the real world. No, you gotta take the Torah out there with you to the real world. In your business dealings, is it all according to Torah? How you deal with people? You speak in Lashon Hara. Are you dealing pleasantly? Are you doing acts of kindness? Are you visiting the sick? Everything you do has to do with Torah. How you get up in the morning, how you eat, how you sleep. Is it all Torah? Is it according to Torah? The Torah constantly shows us how to deal with the physical world, how to live. Right? So it's very good, the Gemara says, that all the rabbis agree then on Shavuos. Right? The giving of the Torah, which addresses the physicality of a man, everybody agrees that you spend half the day with the physical pleasures. Because that's exactly what the Torah is for. Right, it's a beautiful thought if you think about what we're saying is there's no such thing as a mundane act in Judaism. There's no mundane act. Everything has a holiness to it. Eating. You eat, right? Your table becomes like an altar. That's what it says. It says a table that you eat at if you eat for the right reasons, right? You eat and you gain atonement, like the sacrifices of old. You know, a lot of Sfardim, I remember in the Shiva in Israel, they had like a big banner over in the cafeteria that you should say, it says this, and Hareini Oichel Yosbori V'chazak La'Avodis Hashem Yisporach. I think that's what it says. I'm now going to eat to be strong and healthy to serve my Creator, to serve God. That's why you should be eating. Enjoy the food too, right? Sleep, the same reason, so I can be refreshed, get up the next morning, continue to serve you. And therefore, you know what? That 8 hours of sleep becomes Torah. That's Torah. So that's it. Okay? Now that also answers why we have no symbols on Shavuos. When do you need a symbol? You need a symbol to remind you of something, right? That's what it is. You need a symbol to remind you. Whether you tie a string around your finger to remind you of something, you have some symbols, right? Right? But do you need a symbol that you need to eat every day? No. Do you need a symbol that you have to breathe every day? No. It's part of your life. It's your etzem being, right? Shavuos, Torah, is something that we're constantly involved in. I don't need a symbol for that. I'm constantly involved in, according to what we're saying, everything that we do all through the day, going to the bathroom, we come out and say a bracha, before we eat, we say a bracha, go to sleep, getting up, all these things, constantly involved with the Torah. I don't need a symbol for that. That's my whole life. Therefore, Shavuos has no symbols. Therefore, it's very good, the blessings in the morning, there's blessings in the morning you say over the Torah, right? And the blessing says, the chasima, the seal the blessing, it doesn't say, you know, blessed are you, Lord God of the universe, that we're commanded to learn Torah, lilmud Torah. It says, la'asuk b'Torah, to be involved. La'asuk is to be involved in Torah. You hear? To be involved in Torah. That means, sure, it includes learning, but it also means a housewife must take care of the home and raising the kids. She's involved in Torah. Everybody's involved in Torah. You're honest in your business dealing. You're involved in Torah. Whatever you're doing, you're involved in Torah. La'asuk in Israel, you know, if you ask them, ma esek shelcha, what's your occupation? It's beautiful. My occupation is Torah. That's an occupation of a Jew. He's involved in Torah. Right? So that's asuk, constantly involved, preoccupied, constantly in Torah. You don't need symbols. It's constantly in your everyday lives. Okay, so that's question number one. And number two we answer, right? Shavuos has no symbols. Right? And it involves in the physical world. Right? That's why everybody agrees. Right? Everybody agrees that you spend half the day in the physical pleasures. Okay, the other two questions, let's address those. We found the main place of Simcha, the first time Simcha is mentioned is by Shavuos, right? And the other thing we want to know is why, in fact, is a holiday called Shavuos, okay? Just derech agav, just like by the way, those four names that we said Shavuos is known as, Atzeres, and Matan Torah, Torah, given of the Torah, Bikurim, Yom Bikurim, the day of giving the first fruits, and Shavuos. So one reason, it's all encompassed as an acronym of the word Shavuos. The Shin of Shavuos stands for Shavuos, right? The Beis stands for Bikurim, the first fruits. The Ayin, Atzeres, and the Taf, Torah. That's one reason. Another reason, there's many reasons. There's another reason, Shavuos can also mean a vow, an oath. And we learn at least two things from the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. We learn a lot of halachas, laws about conversion. We'll talk about that, God willing. And we also learn about, it was like a wedding ceremony. Well, like we got married that day, right? So the Torah and us became like one entity. Therefore, we exchanged vows. We exchanged vows, right? We vowed, so to speak, that we accept God and will never exchange God for anything else. And God made a vow, Kav Yachol, if we can say that, that we'll be His people and He'll never exchange us. Okay? So Shavuos, the day of vows. Okay? It can mean that. Okay. But, well, I'm going to hit on something else. And actually, we talked about it a little bit in Pirkei Avos, so bear with me. But the fact is, we have to realize, and some of it, you know, we do realize, for example, in the physical world, everything is given to us by God. We realize, don't we, that if we work 60 hours a week, right, all our efforts will not mean anything if God doesn't crown it with success. Right? That's about, we have to do the effort, but we know the final result is up to Hashem. And we see people working many hours and not being successful, and others working smaller hours and are being successful. Okay, but we have to understand, in the spiritual, in Ruchnius, it's the same way. You have to realize that you're able to open your mouth, you know, that's what it says in Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem, you open my mouth, and I'll give your praises. And we start to davening. We thank you, Hashem, for allowing us to thank you. And anything that we have in spirituality, any ability to pray, any ability to learn Torah, to understand Torah, we know that's a present from you. It's a present. The word for a present in Hebrew is a matana. Matana is a present. Okay? Right, so all we can do is the preparation. We prepare, we do the effort, and Hashem gives us a gift. That's a big rule. In physical spirituality, all we do is the effort. And we get the crowning success from Hashem. So there, it's very good. It's very good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the holiday Matan Torah. It's a giving of the Torah. We call it Shavuos. Why? Because what Shavuos means? It literally means weeks. It means weeks. Because that's our part. That's all we can do. We do the weeks. What do? We count every 7 weeks from Pesach to Shavuos. That's the preparation, right? We're preparing. That's all we can do. That's our part. We do the preparation. Weeks. Shavuos. We call it Shavuos. And then comes Matan Torah. Matan, from the word Matana. It's a gift from Hashem. We prepare to receive the Torah, and then Hashem gives us a gift. Okay? Okay, so that's why we call it Shavuos. Now let's hit the fourth question. Every Yom Tov, the Gemara says on Yom Tov a person should enjoy it physically. So they say for children that means nuts and candy. For women it means jewelry and clothes. And for men it means, yes, basar v'yayin. For men it means wine and meat, right? Okay, so let's hit the final question. Just made a lot of friends without jewelry and clothes. Okay, the final question, we have the Simcha bit. Okay, let's talk about Simcha. Why is Shavuos the Iker place, the main source of Simcha? We have to understand something. Shavuos is a holiday of Hakar Satev, a holiday of gratitude. That's what Shavuos is about. of thanking God for what we have. See, human nature is you take things for granted. You know, we all know about health. That's something we always take for granted until, God forbid, something happens. And then we realize how fortunate we were in retrospect. But the truth is, in spirituality, we are extremely wealthy. Right? And being a Jew, you got it made. And having the Torah. Right? And not just in the next world. I'm talking about in this world, you got it made. You enjoy this world better with a must, with boundaries. If you can have everything, you know, like they give the example of making a cake, right? So you put in sugar is sweet, sugar is wonderful. If you put in all the sugar you want, yeah, you come out with junk. But if you have just a measure of sugar and a measure of flour and a measure of this and a measure of that, you come out with a cake. Judaism teaches you, right? Torah teaches you. Hashem is telling you that this is good for you in this measure, and this is good for you in this measure, right? And you can't overindulge, and you can't eat everything you want, right? And you can't, right? And this way a person enjoys this world better. Okay? So, but besides that, just Olam HaZeh, just like the spirituality, that a person has a goal in their life with the Torah. They know where they're headed. They know who they are. They're a Jew. They're serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? You have a neshama, a soul you're dressing. You're investing in for eternity while enjoying this world. People out there are wandering around. They don't know what they're doing. They're just involved in all the narishkeit, all the trivia pursuit. Well, the perfect name, you know, for everything goes on there, right? We have the Torah. This is the day we got the Torah. So this is the day of ultimate simcha for us. Because this is what makes us us. We have an all the prayer liturgy. Asher bachabani mikol amim. Hashem, you chose us from all the nations and you raised us up and you let us call your name. This is the day it happened. We got the Torah. We just partially forget how important the Torah is. We don't realize it. We don't know what it is to be a Jew. Being a Jew and having the Torah is one and the same. And we just take it for granted. We take our Yiddishkeit for granted. Okay? And it's true, we might have problems. We might have little sores. We might have whatever it is. But we take it out of perspective. It's all out of priority, out of proportion. If you realize what you got, then all those, everybody has little peccola problems. But if you realize what you got, then all those little problems and sores, they're in perspective. I'm not saying they're not sores, but if you appreciate what you really have, then they become, you look at them in a different light. You win the lotto, right? That's my bracha to you. All right, you win the lotto, right? You just won $10 million, right? So you come home, and let's say the kid breaks a $100 chair. Nice chair. You like that chair. You know? Normally, that would really upset you, right? But today, I just won $10 million. Broke the chair. It's a kleinigkeit. Doesn't bother me. Right? Right? It's not a big deal. Let me tell you something. You all just won $10 million. And Shavuos is a symbol of that. On Shavuos, you remember that you're a multimillionaire, that you're wealthy, that you have the Torah. You got it made. Anything else you get in this world, you know, you have a spouse, you have children, you have a nice job, a car, anything, that's gravy. But even without all that, if a person, we should know, for remains destitute for the rest of his life, lo aleinu, but he's a Jew, he's got Torah, you got the $10 million. You're a multimillionaire. Everything else is kleinigkeit, little things. Okay, I'm not belittling Soros. I'm not belittling it. Okay? But we just got out. We don't realize what we have. We don't realize what being a Jew is. Literally, I'm telling you, this is a very grub and coarse and unsophisticated comparison, metaphor, if you will, 10 million. It's much, much more than that. It's life. It's mamish being alive. Everybody else out there is dead. They may be walking and breathing and eating and sleeping, but they're dead. They're not living. They're twitching. I'm telling you, you got it made. If you look at that and you realize what you got and who you are, right, then all these other things that we have, these little problems in our lives, they're put in the proper perspective. We can deal with them. But the bottom line is, we go around. It's not shaykh to be sad if you realize you're a Jew and you have Torah. You can't be sad. That's the ultimate simcha. That's why Simcha is by Shavuos. That's what it's all about. Right? That's it. All right, questions? Not negated. We have a neshama, right? I'm addressed in our neshama, but we're the neshama, our soul's in a physical body. And when, you know, a stick hits us, it hurts. And when there's hunger pangs, they're real. I'm not negating that, but I'm saying the priori, the proportion, the perspective of it is out of whack. Think about, right? You got to think about it. I know there's been times that I've been like, I've been real excited. I've gone without realizing it the whole day without eating. And it hasn't bothered me. Why? Because I was playing balls, having a great time, right? Or, you know, when I was in acting, whatever it was. I was, you know, I was on stage, I was doing my thing, and it was great, it was fantastic. Eating it didn't bother me. Okay, afterwards I was hungry, I ate. But it didn't bother me, I wasn't in any pain, right? But yet, on Yom Kippur, what do? We're constantly thinking about food. Because we don't realize we're in the ultimate state of pleasure. We have the ultimate, you know, intimacy with Hashem in spirituality. We lose it. In the secular world, we do without certain physical pleasures for other physical things that we are enjoying. I'm telling you. But we don't relate to it in spirituality. If a person had a perspective that the next world is 5 billion years, it's eternity, it's more than that, and this world is 100 years, right? So you suffer a little in this world. I'm not recommending that. We all ask for a good life in this world. I'm just saying, in retrospect, if we have problems, how to look at it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I'm not negating all these things. It's 100%. We deal with tsoros, and we cry when somebody has a tsoros, and so forth and so on. But I'm just saying, appreciate what you got. A person who goes on a business trip, right? So he packs a few things, a small suitcase. He might live on the sardines or whatever it is for a couple days, right? But on this business trip, right, he's going to make a fortune. He's going to make a fortune, right? He's going to make $400,000, whatever it is. So for a couple days, he's going to rough it. Let's say there's no hotels. He's got to sleep in the car. I don't know, right? Well, he has to live out of a suitcase and eat canned sardines for a couple days. The guy's in Simcha the whole time. Why? He just made $400,000. In a couple days, he'll be back home. He'll have his luxuries, his house, his good food, whatever he wants. That's us. We're down here in the marketplace, you know, to make business for a couple days. That's it. That's all we're down here for is a couple days. We're going to go home, we'll have all the luxuries we want. Think about it. You know, keep seeing ourselves. You know, they say the counting of the Omer is like life. You know, first day of the Omer, second day of the Omer, next thing you know, it's the 44th day of the Omer. You know, you're 1, you're 2, you're 5, you're 10 years old, 15, next thing you know, you're 44. You know, happens to be the day today, that's all. Okay, that's it. Life goes by very quickly. We got to stop and think what it's about. What makes this world so precious to us? And of course, we ask, and the Torah promises physical pleasures and physical blessings, so we won't be distracted. So we won't be distracted, and we can concentrate on spirituality. But all too often, we take those physical blessings and we dive into them, which we'll talk about a little later as well. Okay? So that's all I'm saying. Well, that, you know, this class, learning Torah, all these things is trying to impress upon us what we have. But it's a constant, it's a lifetime work. There's books of Musar. These are books of ethics to make us learn, and books on bitachon and trust in God. But, you know, again, like we addressed, the soul's in the physical body. The physical, we need physical need. We're all lazy. That says that's something that's a common denominator. All mankind, atzlus, lazy, because we're made basically, you know, from the dust of the earth. So there's an aspect that we all want to take it easy. We all want to take it easy. We all want to be comforts. We all want the chaise lounge, right? So it's a lot of effort. It's real. That's why we deserve to get a reward. That's why Hashem implanted in us, these drives, some of these other things, and we're in constant battle. There's a constant milchama. And if we squash what we want to do in our, I'm not saying you should be happy and comfortable, but sometimes we have to make a sacrifice in those arenas to serve God, then we deserve reward. But if it was very easy, right, If it was crystal clear, that's what we're going to talk about, Mount Sinai, to a certain aspect that a very limited free will there, right? Then it's a limited, why should I give you a reward? You're just, right, doing your nature, so to speak. Okay, this is a lifetime of work. That's what makes it, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a balance, though. He made a balance. He implanted us a soul, a desire for spirituality. At the same time, the soul, the body, constant conflict with each other. And our job here with the Torah, addressing the physical part of man, is to try to make them work together in harmony and not get distracted. That's a tough job. Okay, let's go inside and address some more highlights. We mentioned that we learned the laws of conversion on Shavuos. Hang on a second. We learned the laws of conversion on Shavuos because basically we were all in that category to a certain degree. To a certain degree, up until that time, we were kind of like doing mitzvahs on a voluntary basis, right? And now, we all became, like converts. There was no Jewish people per se. I mean, there was. Everybody from Avraham is Jewish, but still, we gave them the Torah, we're like a new nation. Okay, so therefore it's appropriate on this day that we read Rus, the Megillah of Rus, right? Rus was a convert, and from her comes King David, right, and from him comes the Mashiach. So, right, now, it's significant also because King David was born on Shavuos, and 70 years later died on Shavuos. Okay? And by the way, he was born on he died on a Shabbos. Shavuos that year landed on Shabbos. And everybody agrees that Shavuos, the Torah, was given that year on Shavuos was a Shabbos. Which is a good point in itself. It teaches us that Shabbos was given to Israel to delve into spirituality, to learn Torah. Shabbos and Yom Tov was given us to learn Torah. Okay? Symbol of that Shavuos was given on Shabbos. Samuel the prophet, Shmuel Anavi, he wrote the book of Rus. He recorded it on purpose to show that David was legitimate, and he was the rightful king. Okay? So, on Shavuos, the Yahrzeit of David HaMelech, we read Megillas Rus, who talks about a righteous convert, right, who took on an extra 606 mitzvahs, right? The non-Jewish world has 7 mitzvahs. And we have 613. So she took on an extra 606, which is the numerical value of her name, Rus. Resh is 200, Vav is 6, and Taf is 400. Oh, they like that. Okay. A non-Jew is created, but Tzelem Elokim, the image of God. And they do have, they have their 7 commandments. They have their 7 commandments. If they do their 7 commandments, because, this is the key, because God commanded it, they have a share in the future world. There are 7. Don't murder, don't steal, don't curse Hashem, don't have idol worshiping, have courts of justice. You cannot eat a limb from a live animal. How many was that?
6.
For adultery. For being relationships.
No,
that's not the same. We're talking about a B'nai Noach who does 7 mitzvahs because God commanded it. Some people might accidentally be doing it, but not because they think it's civilized and cultured.
Right.
But you have to do it because you recognize your Creator and that He gave you these mitzvahs. They have a share in the future world. May not be like our share, whatever it is, but they do have, there's a thing called Tzaddikei Umasoil, the righteous of the non-Jewish world. There is such a, sure.
The righteous Gentile, sure.
Okay. A lot of righteous people born and died on the same day. Moshe Rabbeinu is the other, we know him also. As a matter of fact, there's a custom sometimes to decorate the shuls with greenery or stuff, because Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar, but 3 months later he was placed in the Nile River, which was Shavuos. And whatever it was, Nile River, by the sides, there's greenery and stuff, and then he was taken out, so. And since he gave us the Torah, there's a custom. Some places decorate the shul in greenery. The world was in flux until this day. We have to understand that when it says it in Genesis, the beginning of the Torah, it says Bereshis, that the world was created. So the Talmud says Bereshis, a base means 2, numerical value 2. Reshis means first, the first things. Okay, beginnings. So for 2 things that are called Reshis, the first, the world was created. Okay, what are these two things? They bring down two verses. Israel's called the first, and the Torah is called a reshis, a first. So for the sake of Israel accepting the Torah, the world was created. Therefore, it says in the account of Genesis, it says, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. Ha, that letter He, before a word, always means the known sixth day. Right? HaShishi, which one? The sixth day of Sivan. That the world was like, didn't know whether it would return to null and void, or be established, depending on the sixth day of Sivan, what happened? Israel accepted the Torah, and the world had its kiyum. It was established. If Israel would not accept the Torah, if there was one Jew, anytime, that at least not one Jew learning Torah someplace, the world would automatically lose its chiyus, lose its life, and go back to null and void. That's a fact. And if you look at this book here, this Storm Chumash, I advise everybody look at the essay, about two-page essay, at the beginning, Torah is the blueprint of the world. It preceded the world. It's brilliantly written. Okay, so Shavuos is the culmination of the creation of the world, okay, and the culmination of the creation of Israel, our freedom from Egypt, right? Those two aspects. Now, the question that's asked is that we all know our famous national anthem, the national anthem of the Declaration of Independence. Now we're going to a national anthem. National anthem of the Jewish people is Na'aseh V'Nishma, right? Hashem said, you know, he offered the Torah to different nations. Different nations said, well, what's in it? You know, we'll see. You know, I don't know if we can do it. We didn't do that. Hashem asked us, you know, you want to accept the Torah? We said, Na'aseh V'Nishma, we'll do it, and then we'll hear what's in it. Okay? So that was the greatness of Israel. Yet, despite that, it says Hashem took the mountain, the words that are used in the Torah portion there, v'yisyatzu b'tachti sahar, that we sat on the edge of the mountain, but literally it translates, we sat under the mountain. So they learned from there that Hashem, whatever this means, took the mountain and suspended it over our heads and said, if you accept the Torah, well and good. If not, you're going to be buried here. So the question is, why did Hashem need to do that? We voluntarily took on the Torah. We said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. Okay? So there's a lot of answers given to this. One beautiful answer I saw is that the word says, V'Yitziyatsu, that we ourselves placed ourselves underneath the mountain. In other words, we are making a statement that without the Torah, we're like dead. We're like dead. No, we're, you know, we realize that. But some of the other answers are given is, right now, we said we had a very limited free will. There was a tremendous revelation, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu came down, you read the account, thunder, lightning, you know, and God himself spoke, whatever that means, and we heard his voice. So of course we accepted the Torah. How could we not? Right? So God took the mountain, suspended overhead, telling us, you know, there's going to be times when you're not going to have such a, you know, an awakening and so much enthusiasm to accept the Torah. Like future generations that won't have such a revelation know at those times you still have to accept the Torah. In other words, you might have thought, well, we voluntarily accepted the Torah and so we can voluntarily, you know, disregard it when we want to, Chalila. No, Hashem says it's very nice that you voluntarily accepted it, but no, you have to have the Torah. Okay, now this has a profound significance because it means in our everyday lives, there are certain times, you know, you get up and you feel like davening or you feel like learning, right? That's beautiful. That's Na'aseh V'Nishma. But there's other times that we experience, we just don't feel like it. We're not in it. We're not in the mood, you know? Especially Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, one holiday after another, you know, we get burnt out. You know, we're not in the mood. So you got to know, during those times, you still got to serve Hashem. And even if you serve Hashem, you feel like you're being forced to serve Him, that you really don't want to, Hashem counts that as you're serving Him. Right? You're mumbling the words, you get up in the morning, you didn't want to, right? You force yourself to show. So, by Hashem forcing the Torah, means those times that we force ourselves to do the Torah, Hashem counts it, and we're serving Him. Okay? It's also another interesting insight. It says, because Hashem forced us to accept the Torah, therefore Torah remains with Israel forever. Why? it gets embedded. It's nishrash. It's rooted in us. Why? You remember, it's a very funny thing. You know, human nature is when you're told to do something, right? You know, you're a kid. So, you know, your parents or your siblings, they'll tell you, an older sibling tells you, you're just about to, like, take out the garbage, right? But then, you know, someone tells you, take out the garbage. So what happens? You know, immediately you get this, like, I was going to do it, but now that you told me to do it, you know, like, you know, you don't want to do it. That's like a natural thing, you know, we don't want to be told what to do. So the fact is, we were going to accept the Torah, but then Hashem said, you know, you got to accept the Torah. So that, you know, that usually that negative drive comes up about that time, being told what to do. So that rooted it in to the psyche, the essence of a Jew, that the Torah would always be with us. Okay, so that's another reason. Okay. Another idea, by the way, is that Nasa V'Nishma, you know, it says, the Gemara says a beautiful thought, Nasa V'Nishma, it says, Hashem said, who taught my children to talk like angels? An angel, and he says, will do, and then we'll hear what it is. You know what I'm saying? Most people say, you say, you know, will you accept this? You'll say, well, let me hear what it is. Let me see if I can do it. But we didn't say, we'll do it, and then we'll hear what it is. Okay, so we had reached such a point. It says, just like the angels know immediately, they know intrinsically why they were created, through the will of God. That's the way Israel was. We were at that level. We knew that the whole purpose, there was no doubt, no doubt whatsoever, that the whole purpose of our creation on earth was to do the will of God, to do the Torah. That's the level we reached. So it says, the angels came down and put two crowns on every Jew. One for Nasa and one for Nishma. Okay? The Gemara says, interesting, it says, B'sha'as sheikdimu Yisrael Nasa v'Nishma. At the time when Israel first mentioned Nasa to Nishma. Okay? Okay? We deserved, therefore we got these two crowns. The idea is the following. We know one of the highest levels of learning Torah is amanas la'asos, to know how to do the mitzvahs. Just to learn Torah, not to apply it, right? It's very limited. We have to live it out. So, the greatness of Nasa, which means we'll do, and Nishma means we'll learn, we'll hear, means that we understood that true, no doubt about it, we're going to learn how to do the mitzvahs, but we understand even, that would be just Nasa. But we said Nishma also, which means we understand just learning Torah in itself is the greatest mitzvah, even if we can't find a practical application for it. Okay, I may learn Torah to understand what I can eat, what I can't eat, you know, keeping kosher, what to do, what not. But there's certain things in the Torah, like, you know, there's certain mitzvahs in the Torah that sacrifices, whatever it is, that we can't find a modern application for it. We still learn it because we realize that learning Torah is the highest mitzvah. So that was part of their greatness, saying, Nasa, we'll do the Torah. You know, we'll learn how to do the mitzvahs, but not only that, Nishma. We'll also learn the Torah. That doesn't seem to have practical applications. Okay? All the 613 mitzvahs are under the category, like the umbrella for them, if you will, is the first two mitzvahs of the Ten Commandments. The first of the Ten Commandments is, I'm the Lord your God. Right? So encompassed in that is all the positive mitzvahs. Right? Oh, there's 248 positive mitzvahs, corresponding to the limbs of the body, and 365 negative mitzvah corresponding to the days of the year, which is a separate point, teaches us that there's no time or place or anything about us that is not involved in Torah. Okay? Another reason why we don't need symbols in Shavuos. Our whole being and our whole time cycle is always involved in Shavuos. The mitzvahs parallel that. The body, parts of the body, and the days of the year. Okay, but all the positive commandments are under the umbrella, I'm the Lord your God, the first of the Ten Commandments, and all the negative commandments, don't do this, don't do that, are under the category of don't make yourself any other gods. So, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. You're making a statement. I'll show you how this works. Every time you do a mitzvah, what are you saying? You're saying, basically, I recognize you're the Lord my God, and that's why I'm doing this. Right? And any time a person, Lolenu, violates a mitzvah, what is he saying? I don't recognize that you're a God. I have other gods. Me. My desires. Therefore, it says all the mitzvahs are under these two, and that's why these two were given by God himself. If you look at it, it's very interesting. These are given in first person. I am the Lord your God. Don't have any other gods. And the rest, starting with number three, skips into third person. Okay? Because these were rooted in Israel. These we actually heard from God himself, because within them it contains all the 613 mitzvahs. We're going to end with a story in a couple minutes. I don't need about two more minutes, and we're going to end with a story here to emphasize again. It might answer one of your questions, actually, Debbie, the story. It also says on Nasim Nishmah, when a person has the attitude, I'm going to do what you say, God. No, I don't understand. I'm going to do it. Right? This is the hardest thing we have today to battle with. We always want to understand, well, why do I have to do that? Because we're Americans. You know, we always want a rationale. We always want a nice little package. That's not what a Jew is about. A Jew is about that dirty word, blind faith. We study. We try to understand the meaning. But the bottom line is we do things because God said it. And if a person has that attitude, that all the Torah is a chuk, it's a statute, right? Nas, I'm going to do it. Then he merits to have nishma. Which is that? What's that? That's the inner dimension, to be able to understand some of the inner dimensions of the mitzvahs. But if you have the attitude, let me hear it first, to see if it jives with my lifestyle and doesn't contradict my pleasures or desires, and then I'll see if I do it, then you're not going to ever get those things that you really want. In other words, it's just the opposite. A person who nullifies himself and says, Nas, I'm going to do it, then he merits to see the inner dimensions and the meanings of the Torah. Right? And the person who Dafka wants to see that, and that's what it's contingent whether he'll do the Torah on that, he'll never get to see it. Okay? Because that's the test. Hashem wants us to serve him, even if we don't understand. That's being a true servant to God. Okay. We'll say that for the end. Okay, the Zohar says an interesting thing, a fascinating mystical aspect, which explains why we go to our sages not just for advice in spirituality, but advice on what to do physically. What job should I take? Where should I live? Why? Because the Torah, listen to this, in the name of the Zohar, Kol ha'olam hu kemashal divrei Torah. All this world is a parable to the Torah. It's a parable to the Torah. The Torah is the reality. And according to that degree, a person has an insight into the Torah. Kach masig gam hamashal inyone olam hazeh. To that degree, a person understands the Torah. That's how he'll understand what's going on in the world. You hear this? So people who are steeped in Torah, you know, like the Vilna Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim, they understood everything in the world. That's why you had Chazon Ish, never learned medicine. There were surgeons that came all over the world to ask him advice on surgery. Rav Salanter never learned engineering. His son was an engineer, wrestled with a problem for months and months, couldn't figure it out. His father looked at the blueprints for a couple minutes and showed him exactly what the problem was. The Vilna Gaon, I told you this, right? The Kramer theory in mathematics. Anybody in mathematics? Kramer theory is a basic theory in mathematics. That's the Vilna Gaon's. He didn't learn math. It was all from the Torah. All the knowledge of the world, that was his last name, Rav Eliyahu Kramer. This is the only good last name. All the knowledge of the world, as well as everybody's mission and destiny, is all in the Torah. It encompasses everything. Okay? So that's why Das Torah, that expression is called Das Torah, right? Like the knowledge of Torah, you go to these great, great giants who are steeped in Torah, and they know about the world. There's a famous story about a great rabbi. This guy was in the diamond fields, and he was down to his last million. It's true. He was down to his last million, and he asked the rabbi, you know, what you should do. He's in Australia, and the rabbi told him, you should dig here, there, and that. He looked at the map. You know, it's unbelievable. And he said, you'll get millions. And he said, wait, no, billions. You'll get billions. He did. I think his name is Gutman. I think this guy's name is Gutman. Yeah. Building foundation speaks up again. Okay. Also, another idea behind Nasem and Nishma, it's not really possible to say, listen to this beautiful thought. You can't say Nishma Vanasa, we'll hear and then we'll do. Why? Until you do, Until you do, you can't hear. In other words, when we say in a blessing, Asher kitchanu b'mitzvoisad, that you sanctify us with your commandments, means by the act of actually doing, we sanctify our vessel. We sanctify our physical limbs. Nase, we'll do, and then nishma, then we'll be able to hear. Because once we do the mitzvah, we'll sanctify the ear. It'll be able to hear. You hear? It'll be able to hear Torah. It'll be able to learn Torah. But if we don't do, it's an amazing concept. Right? It's an amazing concept. That the act of doing, that's what it means. Asher kichanu b'mitzvasecha. God sanctifies us by His commands. By the doing of them, that sanctifies our physicality. Again, the connection to our sanctifying of the physical world. Okay. That, by the way, that's another thought why we said Nasa and Nishma in general. We understood, you know, what if God asks us to do something impossible we can't do? We understand once it's a commandment for God, it makes it possible that we can do it. You understand? The question on Israel is always, you know, we'll do. What kind of people is this? We'll do. You don't know what He's going to ask. We'll have to ask Him the impossible. Could be. But once God commands it, that makes it possible. For example, they say the blessing. How can God give a commandment, love me? The Ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, love the Lord your God. How can you go up and say love me? You know, I've tried it. It don't work. Okay? But the very fact, right, you either love some or you don't. You know, you can't command an emotion. So it says the fact that God, Chedushi Rim says this, the fact that there's a commandment to love God or fear God, that in itself makes it possible, the commandment. So therefore we can say Nasa Nishma, because once we get the Torah, once you command us, Asher Kitchanu B'mitzvoisav, you sanctify us with your commandments, then actually it becomes a physical possibility that we can do it, even if it seems impossible. Okay? Okay, I'm going to go into the story now. The Yetzer Hara. Let's talk about the old man. The old man, he's called a Melech Zaken. He's called an old king. The evil incarnation. Okay? So, the reason he's called that is because he makes everything old. We're going to connect this back to the beginning of our class. He makes everything old. We said that we're very wealthy. This is the Iker Simcha Shavuos. Why? Let's sum it up. Why? Because we have the Torah. This is the day we won the million. We won the lotto. Everything else, you know, is in perspective now, right? What's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is the Melech Zaken, the Yetzer Hara, the old king. Zaken's old. He makes everything old. Old by rote. You get used to it. You forget. The opposite of old is new. The first mitzvah the children of Israel got. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This is the new month. But, you know, if you more deeper insight, HaChodesh is for Chadash. New. The essence, the first mitzvah of Israel, the essence to have it is Chadash, to have a newness in everything. Don't let it get old. Don't let it get old. If you don't let it get old, then you got it made. If you realize, frick, that's why the blessing in the Torah, the blessing in the Torah, Noisen HaTorah. You know what that is? We should say, listen, it should say Natan HaTorah. He gave us the Torah. We say the blessing. Someone gets an Aliyah up there, right? God gets an Aliyah. He says the Berech Noisen HaTorah. He gives us the Torah. Why? He's constantly giving us the Torah. We're constantly reaccepting the Torah. It's a newness. It doesn't ever get old, okay? So that's our problem. The problem is the Yetzer Hara tries to make everything old. So we try to get a newness in everything, okay? Now, the other thing we have to battle... The other thing we have to battle is everything that's going out there. We see everybody else doing everything else, involved in this, involved in that, right? And we get lost in the shuffle. We forget the priorities of things and what's really important. By the way, that's why the Ten Commandments are given in singular. It's given in singular because you should consider the world's created just for you. In other words, forget about what the whole world's doing. You got these mitzvahs to do. It doesn't matter what the whole world's doing, okay? So now I'm going to explain. The Torah has to... The main thing, you got to understand is the Torah has to affect our everyday lives, how we act. We can't let it get old. We have to remember the importance of it. I'll give you, here's the story, finally. That's the build-up for this story. It's like this. There's once a king. Let's say, you might have heard the story, but bear with me. Okay. There was once a king, and And he was going by in the streets, and he saw this poor man. He saw this poor man, hold on. Anyway, there's this man, and he was beset with all sorts of illnesses, and he had scabs all over his bodies, and he was sitting there in the garbage heap, right? And the king took pity on him. For some reason, the king took pity on him, right? And he took him, and he ordered his noblemen to take him out of the garbage heap, and to give him all sorts of medicines, and to heal him, and to educate him, and dress him in royal garments, and adorn him with gems, and like I said, and teach him the finer things in life. And this was a long process. And not only that, the culmination of this was that the king gave him his own daughter to wed. Right? He gave him the daughter to wed. His own daughter, right? So, and he ordered all his noblemen to serve him hand and foot, whatever he wants, right? So this went on for a while, and all of a sudden, one day, they were taking a walk in the streets, and sure enough, they come back to their old neighborhood, and this guy sees some of his chevra there playing in the garbage. So what does he do? He becomes tremendously envious. Wow, look at them. They're having such a great time, and I'm sitting here in these royal trappings. You know, it's not fair. Can't take it. Throws off his crown, takes off his costly garments, dives in to the garbage and starts playing with his friends. Can there be any bigger insult to the king? That's us. We let things get old. We forget how important the Torah is. We forget that we were beset with afflictions and illnesses in Egypt. But that was every one of us was there. And God took us out, and he healed us, and he gave us royal garments, mitzvahs, that correspond to the parts of the body. And he gave us his daughter for a wife, the Torah. We were wedded at Mount Sinai, right? And he educated us. And when we're doing the will of God, everybody, his noblemen, wait on us. The nations of the world do our bidding, right? And what happens after thousands of years of being in the Torah, having this Torah, this education, and wearing our royal garments, you know, walking around with our blue blood, we come to a coast country, we're in exile, right? And we start to assimilate. We see all the nations involved in garbage, in their lust and desires and Hollywood and sports and all the narshkite, the garbage heap. And we're envious. We're envious. Got to be part of the world. You know, we're stuck with these royal trappings, the straitjackets of Torah, mitzvahs, do's and don'ts. What, we can't have that pleasure, that garbage they're involved in. And we, you know, it's Yom Kippur, we got to be in shul. Shabbos, we got to be in shul. We can't eat this, we can't eat that. We can't have, you know, all this garbage. So what do? We chunk off our crown and we take off our royal garments and we dive up to the neck in their schmutz. And they're garbage. And we want to know what they're watching on TV, and we want to know what the latest movies are, and we want to know who's winning the pennant race, right? Not to mention, those are already the kosher things out there, right? Not to mention all the filth and garbage and the other garbage. That's it. That's it. We think that's life, and we're missing out. And we forget the Melech Zakan, the Yetzirah, the old king. He made the Torah old, and we forgot the wedding day, how happy we were, how all in simcha we were, how we said, Nasa v'nishma, we'll do it, we'll accept it. And we were married at Mount Sinai, we forgot, and we commit adultery. We commit adultery. So that's it. The job of Shavuos is, it's not an anniversary. The job of Shavuos is to realize we're going to get the Torah again. It's a time to plug in, to lock in, to renew ourselves for another year, to realize that this is the Simcha. This is it. We got it made. We're all extremely wealthy. We won the lotto on this day. This is it. Wear those royal garments. Don't take them off. Behave as befitting royalty. That's who we are. Realize what we got. Right? Realize what we got. We won't want to be involved in the schmutz. We're not going to be jealous or envious. We're not jealous of a cat when we see him playing with a mouse. Why should we be jealous of that? We got much more, right? And also we'll put our own little problems, source, big problems, little problems, we'll put it in perspective, right? We have the main thing. The main thing is, I'm a Jew. I got Torah. Also, I have to deal with this problem and that problem. Okay, but the main thing, I have a tranquility, a peace of mind, because I know where I'm headed. I know what life's about. I know what I'm doing in this world. Right? I don't have to turn to drugs or suicide or shrinks or all these other things. Right? Now, that's Shavuos. That's Shavuos. That's the Iker Simcha. The Iker Simcha is to know who you are and what you have. So I wish all of you a tremendous Freilich Yom Tov, re-accepting the Torah again, to take the Torah and to live it throughout our lives and remember that that is our Simcha and we're all extremely wealthy and to enjoy our wealth. Shabbos and good Yom Tov.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.